Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to Memento, a podcast by Washington Avenue Christian Church. Hey, before we dive into this week's episode, we just wanted to take a moment and clarify a couple of different things that were said last week, specifically in regards to our conversation about communion. And we want to be absolutely clear here that we do absolutely believe that communion is a really, really holy moment, an opportunity to reflect and be with Jesus in that time. And we understand that, I understand that part of what I had said came across as confusing and maybe even offensive to some of our listeners. And so I want to apologize for that. It may not have translated, but in saying that Jesus is our homeboy, we were actually like making fun of that. That was a whole movement back in like the early 2000s. And I was intending to like make fun of that. And it didn't come across the way. So I'm really sorry about that. I in no way want Jesus to, I don't want to view Jesus as my homeboy. I understand who he is and what he's done and that there's a level of reverence that needs to come with that. And so I apologize for not being clear.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah. I'll just say ditto.
Like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, we, in fact, we're, I think, trying to say the opposite. You know, I really think that communion to us is such a big thing. And honestly, in the entirety of the podcast, I think what we were trying to say is like, we wish that it was seen as more holy.
Of a big thing. Yeah.
More holy because it's been made into this individualistic moment, played over some keys, you know, which is why I think we even brought up like the Catholic Church and how, you know, holy they really make it. Even though it might be different than us, it's just a different expression. So yeah, we definitely apologize for that. And if there was any misunderstanding, we will try to be a bit more clear and, sorry for the bump. That was just me leaning into the joke of what we were saying. So I'm definitely Jesus is not our homeboy.
in the future, please, because I'm not promising that we're not going to say things that you don't disagree with in the future.
Yeah,
man, please, like, reach out to us and let us know so that we can clarify what we mean and what we're talking about. So we can have a discussion, because as much as we love like having this discussion together, like we'd love to have the conversation with you as well. And we're open to your criticism and your feedback.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, we're just guys, you know, we're just some dudes who, you know, have biblical degrees and work at a church, but like, we're just human beings and we make mistakes. And sometimes that means not articulating things in the most clear way.
Yep.
So yeah, we don't want to come across as like, we can't take your criticism. In fact, we want it and would appreciate it. So that way we can make sure that we're being clear for everyone. So
yeah, absolutely. So again, we're sorry for any confusion or stumbling that may have caused. We definitely agree and affirm the holiness of communion and all of the things that come along with that. We've got a good episode this week. We're excited for you to hear it. And so we'll wrap this up and dive in to the actual episode.
Good.
Have fun. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Memento, a podcast by Washington Avenue Christian Church. See, here at Washington Avenue, sometimes we understand that we forget who we are, and we forget what we're supposed to do, and we even forget what we talked about on Sunday. So in an effort to remind ourselves of who we are and what we're supposed to do and what we talked about on Sunday, we bring you Memento. I am Shane. I'm the Connections Pastor here at Washington Avenue. I've got my co-host Jake over here. He's the Youth Pastor at Washington Avenue, and I just introduced him for him because the last two times that he's tried to introduce himself, he said, Jake. And so
it's funny, I was fully prepared this time to say it, so that's funny.
Well, I had no guarantees that was going to be the case. So break the ice, Jake.
Break the ice. All right, so Shane told me to come up with the icebreaker question. I didn't have enough time to come up with one, so I Googled one, and I thought this one was funny, so we're going to go with it. So the zombie apocalypse is coming. Who are the three people that you take with you?
Tyson Bainum.
Tyson Bainum.
Thomas and Ciso. Mm. And my wife.
Yep.
Done.
That was solid.
Yeah. You. I Without was, repeating oh, any of mine.
Yeah, okay. I would say I would say Aubrey, of course. Honestly, Jim, because Jim is a pretty resourceful man, and I feel like he could build something because he just builds things. And probably Mark Wolf, because Mark is also resourceful, and he's got a bunch of tattoos, and if I was a zombie, I'd be afraid of Mark.
What if tattoo ink adds extra flavor? And tattoo,
I've asked and, zombies, and they said no.
And tattoos are what draw zombies to people. And they only eat non-tattooed people after consuming all of the tattooed, all the tattooed flesh tattooed in the people, world.
Then I don't think I want tattoos anymore. All right.
Well, that was a good question, though.
Thanks.
It's fun. I was so quick to respond without processing, because I was literally like, I had lunch with Tyson Bainum yesterday, and he was telling, like, we were talking about all kinds of different
zombie
stuff.
Apocalypse.
Not specifically, but I was thinking in my head, like, this is the dude to know. Like, Tyson is a guy to know.
Yeah.
I literally told him, I was like, this is why I have friends like you.
Does he have, because, like,
dude, he was in the freaking Marines. Like, he's been to, like, 18 different countries and, like,
yeah, when Thomas makes sense. Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Thanks, guys, for protecting us.
And then Tyson, he said something so special. He was like, he said, this is like, because I was like, man, I'm not resourceful. Like, I don't have very many, like, skills. And he was like, oh, bro, like, you have a very important skill, and it's really good. I was like, yes, I get that. But in a post-apocalyptic world, like, preaching is not necessarily going to help me survive.
Well, right. Maybe, you know,
depending
on your theology.
And he he was like, well, that's why the Levites are taken care of. And I was like, dude, I almost got emotional.
Like, cried.
I was like, oh my gosh, that was so good.
Like,
and
dang,
biblical.
Bro. Yeah.
Shoot.
Bible.
He Tyson's
Bible-y,
a man.
Bro.
Everybody should know Tyson, but don't, because
I honestly don't think do I know Tyson?
I don't think you do.
Well, Tyson, let's meet, man. I don't know.
Pretty quiet.
I've heard your name, Tyson, but.
Taryn and Tyson, Baron, Jacob, and Cannon.
Let's get coffee. Tyson.
I don't know if Tyson drinks coffee,
well,
but
I'll buy
he likes
whatever
lunch.
He wants. I like lunch.
Jake, I have good news and bad news. Would you like the good news or the bad news first?
The bad news is that I said my likes 109
times.
108 times. 108.
That is the bad news.
That is the bad news. I ruined it for you.
It's okay.
It was fun to watch you get upset about. But
I'm clearly very angry.
Okay. What's the good news?
The good news is that the time frame of last week's podcast was extended to almost 48 minutes, right, Isaac? Somewhere pretty close to that, right? And so your like per minute average stayed pretty close to the same.
Okay.
So while you definitely had more likes, it wasn't necessarily
out of the ordinary.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that makes me feel better. At this point, I'm just like, it's, I just said it again. It's hard to, it's just me, you know?
Yeah.
It's just me.
So lead into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I had 50. So I was up too, but I was up from 47 to 46 to 50.
Maybe it's just a Gen Z thing, dude. I don't know.
Maybe.
And a millennial. More so for me, though. Gen Z.
You are Gen Z.
Yeah. Question number one.
Yes. Oh, you have a these questions.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Sometimes you lead into your
like
questions by saying question. And so I was confused by
like, what is it doing?
You're going to ask me a question.
Question.
Okay. So this one's not on the doc. This one's not on our show
okay.
doc because right. I didn't type it in there yesterday, but I was thinking about this and I'm going to try and frame it in to a question.
Okay. I'll believe in you.
Anyway, here we go. Jim on Sunday was talking about light.
Yes.
Right? There was a whole theme of the Sunday and all of the Sundays prior to that for the past like 5 weeks.
We are light.
But specifically, he was talking about light last week, and he was, you know, he kind of made the joke that he's got old eyes, and so his eyes don't like the sun, and like it's really inconvenient because like when he's driving to work, he drives to work early in the morning, and he faces east, so the sun's coming up, right? The sun's in his face, and when he goes home, he's driving west, and the sun's going down, and it's in his eyes, and he just like made all of these connections to where it's like light is inconvenient, right? And it's just like, it's blinding. And it's inconvenient. But then also, he flipped it and then said, whenever it's dark, I want more light. So like when I'm stumbling down the hallway to go to the bathroom, I think is what he said. Maybe not the bathroom part, but anyway. He said he wants just a little bit of light. Not too much because it's blinding, and not too much so that he can't see and is blind, but just enough. And so I got to thinking, and I wrote down, we are often disappointed with the amount of light, either too much or too little. Generally with light in general, but also I think with people, right? In a judgmental and condescending way, I think in a lot of ways, we look at people who we view as like holier than thou, and we're like, oh, you're holy, you know? But then at the same time, we look at the people who are unredeemed or aren't acting in a redeemed way, and we're like, well, we wish, like, you're operating in darkness. And so we're dissatisfied with the amount of light thoughts.
That's wrong. We shouldn't do that.
Yes.
Easy answer. Easy answer. Like, that's not Christianity, and like, rethink your life. You know? From not being wrong. Honest here, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, if you're looking down at a person who's in darkness and you're like, I'm better than you. No, not at all. Like, you should be worried about that person. It, like, you were that person. You still are that person, you know? Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're even thinking that way just proves that you're, like, honestly, like, self-righteous, which is, to me, 10 times worse. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that it's wrong.
Yeah.
It's that person's ignorant. You're not, you know, which to me
Paul would say that their brains are miswired.
Yes.
He wouldn't use wires. He didn't know what wires were. But he would say that their brains aren't working properly.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself struggling with either one of those extremes, judging or like thinking, you know, poorly of people with too much or too little light?
I think sometimes, yeah, because I'm just a human being, which I don't even like saying that, like a human being. The original intention behind a human being was like good.
You're fallen.
I am a fallen human being.
Me too.
So,
for the record.
Yes, if I'm being honest. Yeah. Yeah. But I try not to, you know, sure. And I think sometimes it's harder being, trying to find the line between like being a pastor and like seeing those things and like communicating those as like a brother in Christ, but not doing it as like, I see this issue in you, and I'm here, but it's like, no, like we're both here. You know, like we're both fallen. Mm-hmm. So like we're at the same place, but I'm, whenever I start getting here, that's when there's an issue. If that, does that make sense? Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like at the same time. No, never mind.
Well, I think I could guess where you're gonna go with that. Like, we should be as a person who is followed Christ for say 20 years should be more emotionally, spiritually mature than a person who's followed Christ for a year, right? So like there is a difference.
Sure. Sure.
But but. In the end, like, I'm still fallen, you're still fallen, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, if we're going to operate with the candle analogy, which we haven't established yet, but I'm going to now,
okay.
Because it's what Jesus
used. If we're going to operate with the thing that I haven't stated yet.
Jesus said, you're the light of the world, you don't put a light under a bush, right? Or under a basket or whatever it is
that
he actually said. So it definitely, you don't want to hide it. But it doesn't, I mean, it does some good if it's high and above everything else, but maybe not as much, because while it does cast light up there, it doesn't do anything for igniting other lights around it. And so there's this middle ground between like being way up here and being way down here where nobody can see that, like, if the purpose is to ignite other lights, right? That's kind of like the evangelistic bent to the light analogy. Then, like, we're going to
use that analogy. It's almost like, are you requiring the other candles to come up to you, or are you going to occasionally go down to the
The
other candles are?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I almost think it's both. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to answer my own question, like, I feel like we're calling people to a higher standard.
Yes.
But also, like, I think Jesus met people where they were at. Mm-hmm. So it has to be both. Yeah. Like, we have to, it's the balance of grace and truth. Like, I'm going to meet you where you're at, but I'm calling you to a higher standard. Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good. You were not in service on Sunday because you were dealing with youthy things, which is great and fine, and your job.
Yes.
But I found myself thinking a lot about Shane Wood in this message with the whole. And I saw you carried the book in today. And
I
wonder. Shane, in his book Between Two Trees, has he deals with light a lot because Shane loves John and John loves light, and using it as an analogy for things. And so Shane therefore uses it as an analogy for things. And one thing that Shane acknowledges early on in his book is that sometimes exposure to light hurts, right? And I just was thinking about that a lot in the context of like this sermon. And because, and Jim even talked about this in one of his points. Sorry, I wrote really small and I'm getting old, so I can't see. Ah, there it is. It's the last one, of course. Light is powerful and must be used carefully, right? And so, like, yes, you have to use it carefully. And it, Shane's analogy is like, you know, whenever you're not getting up for school and your mom comes in and she's woken you up 5 times already and you haven't got out of bed yet, at least this is what my mom did, and apparently Miss Tammy Wood, Shane's mom, is a wonderful saintly lady. She would just turn the light on and it like literally hurts, right? And so you like pull the blankets up because you want to escape the light. And light is powerful, and that's an example of that. In that illustration, I'm more Tammy than I am the light, right? It's just my responsibility to let the light in and let the light do its work. I'm not the harbinger, or I'm not the light itself. You still have to do that in a like a graceful way, but the light's going to do what the light's going to do, and it's not my responsibility to control that.
I thought about I was thinking about that before we started talking. Ozark actually just sent me that book. I don't know,
for the Masters.
Me too. I already had this book.
This one's autographed by Shane Wood, though. I don't know if you thought
it. Mine was already autographed by Shane Wood, but I think Isaac still has it. So. Yeah, but I thought that was weird whenever he might, I don't know, he's like, I don't know. That's okay. It doesn't matter because now I got another copy. So, but yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, I wonder if he's going to go there. And you did. And if you weren't, I was going to. So glad you did.
Cool.
So
here we are on the same page. Cool.
Yep.
Next question, which is ironically connected right to point. Isaac asks, point four of Jim's sermon was light is powerful and must be used carefully as children of light. How have you balanced letting your light shine without self-righteously attacking others in darkness? We just talked about this.
I think we could go more
specifically
into it.
Go.
So I think for me, everything for me, I'm a very relational person. So everything for me really highly depends on relationship. So I'm not just going to go, you know, if we're going to use an analogy, I'm not just going to go turn on my like super powerful light in like a room that I've never been in before, you know, and just like shine it at people's eyes and be like, look at the light, you know, like, no, like I slowly turn on the light with people that I create a relationship with, and I build relational equity, and that just means like I just build trust between us, and you know, allow them to show me light that I'm not seeing, and just come from a place of like loving humility, and then and only then do I bring up light, you know. Like, because if I just came at them with light immediately, which we might as well just, I think light could be replaced in this instance with like truth. I only come with truth. I'm living truth. So the way that I'm living, I think, is speaking. And the way that I'm not just gonna like let them speak false truths, you know. But if I'm going to like come at them, you know, with with a truth like, you know, Shane, you should talk less or something like that. Like, I'm only going to say that if I know them and that they know that I love them, and it's coming from a place of love and not of hate. You know?
All the analogies today.
All the analogies. But
I think that maybe our approach should be something to the effect of like a dimmable light, right? So it's not just like on and off, but like you have to have a really fine-tuned and nuanced hand to know when and how much light to give at a certain instance. And so while yeah. I would argue, or people might argue, and I would agree with that, like you should never turn your light off, that also doesn't mean that it has to be full blast
yeah.
all of the time. There are certainly times when it is full blast, but I think, you know, knowing the situation.
Yes. And being smart enough mm-hmm. to know. Let's change it from a light to a dimmable light to a fire. Because to me, like you can start.
It's a really sensitive topic right now.
It's a sensitive. Because Al Porvenir. I was like, why, bro? Like, what, is he okay? like, what's your deal with fire, bro? I think fire might be a better one because, you know, it takes work to keep the fire going and to keep the light going. And it starts.
Because that would have been like the only light that Jesus knew was from the mm-hmm. sun or fire.
Yeah.
So
I think
brought it back around to its original form.
Yeah. Because it's like, you know, it's got to start from like embers and move, uh-huh. and you know, uh-huh. got to uh-huh. put in the kindling and all that mess. And
it's very Eagle Scouty of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
Scout
for life.
Believe it or not, Jake's an Eagle Scout.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have lots of thoughts there going all over the place, but I think you're right. And I think going back to the root of the question is just like having that relational equity
mm-hmm.
is so important.
I would say the emotional intelligence as well.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. like it's important to have emotional intelligence mm-hmm. to be intuitive enough to know yeah. this person is or not ready for this,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Can I tweak that?
Yes.
Just a little bit?
Absolutely.
I don't think it's a matter of this person is or is not ready, but our relationship is or is not ready to navigate
to
this
yes.
right now.
Yeah. yeah. No, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because some would argue that like a person in darkness is always ready to
yeah.
like, experience
be brought to
light.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah. Can I define emotional equity? Because I feel like we've used it a few times.
We
and
have.
I think it's like,
I keep hitting this mic.
Relatively, you know what? You did that last week and you acknowledged it and like, no, you can't hear it at all.
Okay,
so
cool. I just
the only
like,
reason that you know is when people talk about it, you're a big gesture. Yeah. Anyway, so emotional equity. Equity is, you know, the stock that you build up, like when you buy a house, right? The value that goes up there. So what we're talking about when we mean not emotional, but relational equity is just thinking about like every relationship. I like to think about it like a bank, right? And so every single interaction, you're either making deposits or withdrawals from that relational bank that you have with this person. And obviously, like, small deposits build up over time. Small withdrawals also, like, taper over time. And the idea is that you want to have a lot of deposits into the relational bank before you make a really big withdrawal. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to overdraft. Because whereas an overdraft in a bank, they may penalize you a little bit. An overdraft in the relationship probably usually leads to a termination in the relationship,
mm-hmm.
Which is also the case of banks if you make enough overdrafts. And so we're just using bank language to talk about how we relate to people. That's what we yeah. mean when we are talking about relational equity.
Yeah.
It's a term that Jake and I have used for a really, really long time that just yes. kind of comes natural in our conversation.
It does, yeah.
And I was like, wait.
No, it's good clarification there.
I don't know if people know
it's
that.
It's important
so,
to
yeah.
clarify what we're saying.
Yeah. Cool. What is sin? Reframed into the context of this discussion, what is darkness? And should we shine our light on any and all darkness? And how do we discern how to use the light to expose darkness?
What is sin?
What is sin? Well, the Greek word, hamartia, means to miss the mark.
I was like, are you going to finish that sentence?
No, I thought you yeah. were going to say something.
No, no.
Well, yeah. sin's a Greek word. It's an archery term, a bullseye. Anything not a bullseye is called hamartia, translated sin, miss the mark, right? Which allows for no varying degrees whatsoever, but to miss the mark is to miss the mark. You can miss the mark by a millimeter or a mile, but you still hamartia'd.
Hamartia'd. Oh, man, I hamartia'd. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's a, you know, it's a loaded question, which is why I laughed when you said, what is sin? To me, it's like a distortion, which I guess is close to what you said of like missing the mark. It's a distortion of the truth. Because Satan, from my understanding, can't necessarily create anything. He can only distort. So he comes in, even with, you know, Adam and Eve, and he's like, hey, look, like...
did God really say?
Yeah, did God really say this? Like, just kind of distorting the perception and saying, like, having this truth and being like, I'm just going to tweak it a little bit, and that's enough. But yeah, I mean, sin is just like a distortion of what we are meant to live life to the full, in my opinion. So it's like, yeah, you can do, like, because of Christianity, you can do any of this stuff, but is it the healthiest thing for you? Like, are you going to live life to the fullest if you're going to keep distorting what is good, you know? If we're called to be, I like this word, apprentices of Jesus, then you probably should stop distorting what is true, you know? Which the whole, you know, the whole thing of Genesis is like, sin is just us distorting what is good and what is bad, right? Like, that's the issue, is we don't know, which is why we, like, God came in and he was the one who defined it for us. And then Satan was like, well, like, what if you defined it, you know? And that's the issue, because then that's why, like, where all of our problems come from, is because we're trying to define it, you know? Which is, yeah, I don't know if any of that made sense.
Yeah, you're rocking it, man. You are rocking it. I had a thought, but now I don't remember what it was.
Was it, do snakes have legs?
No, that was last week.
Okay. Do snakes have legs? Pre-fall? No. Is that a question?
Pre-fall? Yeah, maybe.
Pre-fall.
It's probably...
Does it matter?
Don't think about a snake when you read the word serpent.
Like a lizard?
It's more of like a lizard, yeah. Ah. Same as like a dragon. And yeah, that was a great sound effect.
Thanks.
Can you do that again right in the mic?
Just like, I'm a lizard!
Just like dragons. Probably aren't like big dragons like we think of. They're more like... alligators. Anyway, this is wow.
Yeah.
Sin has distortion of what is good. Oh, Romans 6, right? Like, everything that you just said is basically encapsulated in Romans 6. Like, should we keep on sinning so that grace may increase? Like, that's the distortion. Like, yeah. And Paul's like, no.
No. No. Probably not.
No, 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 no.
If you could stop, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it's the emphatic negation that he uses a lot in Romans, that meganoita. Emphatically, like, absolutely not. You died to sin and been buried with it in baptism. Therefore, don't do that anymore.
Therefore, don't.
Therefore, stop, please. So, yeah, that would be the answer then to, like, the Christian justification to continue to sin.
Yeah.
That you had moved well beyond that by the time I got around to the question, but I still wanted to say it.
That was good.
It was bugging me
as
to what it was. So how then is the law like our tutor? The question asker, Manika, wants to know what is sin and how is the law our tutor?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think, you know, the law is important. Jesus said himself, like, I didn't come to abolish the law, but fulfill the law. I mean, I can't think of exactly where I'm thinking of, but it's like God said, like, we needed the law to, like, separate ourselves. I don't know where I'm going. Do you know where I'm going with that? Where is that?
I would love for you to finish your thought first.
Oh, man.
Because you're doing that thing that you do where you, like, start seven sentences and don't finish any of them.
Yes.
Think that I know where you're going, but I would really love it if you'd finish it so that we can actually talk about it.
Yes, I'm sorry. Sometimes when my brain gets rolling, I just, like, it's too much, and then it all just comes into one, and I can't concentrate on one thing. yeah, I'm 90% sure it says somewhere. God is like, well, you needed the law to get here, but... Dude, I can't finish my thoughts. There's too many. Can you save me, please?
No, because I'm still not 100% sure where you are or where you're going. But
like really just like calling out to you as a friend, and you're just like, nah, dude, I'm just going to keep flipping through my Bible. The law is a tutor because it helped us know that we were doing things bad in the first place, right? Like it had to separate us.
Oh, you mean like Romans 7?
Gosh, yes. Thank
what
you.
What shall we say then?
if you could have just
law
done
is sin?
2 minutes ago, that would have been great.
I just like to watch you flounder a little bit before I pitch you.
Like, bro, it's recording, dude. Like,
before I pitch you the life preserver. What shall we say then? That the law is sin? Guess what? Meganoita. Emphatic negation.
Meganoita. Sounds Italian.
It's Greek, which is also like that Mediterranean. Like,
I feel like, can I get some meganoita sauce on that, please?
And the waiter would say, meganoita.
Meganoita. Yeah.
By no means.
By no means.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Heck
that
no.
That doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You idiot.
Yet, if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would have not known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law. This is what Paul's talking about. Like, this is what he's answering.
Yeah.
So the question is, how is the law our tutor?
Tutor?
I like enunciating it like that.
I like it too.
Because it shows us how much we can't do what we've been called to do. I've been thinking a lot about, well, and we even talked about it last week, righteousness. And covenantal terms. And I get to have a couple of different conversations about that this week, yesterday with Tyson, actually. And the law came up. It was like, well, what was it? And so it was because the people of Israel were supposed to be a blessing to the nations, and the way in which they became and initiated that blessing was through the keeping of the law, to show people an alternative way to live and to worship the one true God.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that. Therefore, the law was their tutor, because it showed them that there was something greater and beyond themselves that needed to come, and that the righteousness, God's righteousness, wasn't from the law. His covenant keeping ability wasn't through the law, but through Jesus, who fulfilled the law. And that's exactly what you said and what Jesus said, is that he didn't come to abolish the law, he came to fulfill it for the purpose of righteousness and making us right with God, but also like fulfilling the covenant and allowing us to step into covenant fulfillment life too. Ba-bam.
It's good.
Should we shine our light on any and all darkness? That's a good question.
Yes. I don't know. I would say yes. Should we shine our light on any and all darkness? Are you saying, is there anyone who's too lost for me to bring the light to them?
I'm just simply asking the question as it's stated in the show doc.
Yes. There is no one who's too lost to bring light to, man. I don't care if you're, you know? No.
Yeah. You know? Wait, is it yes or no?
I don't know. I know what I'm trying to say. And the answer is, we should bring light to all darkness.
I think you should go to sleep earlier on Monday nights.
Same.
So that your
brain
is in line.
I didn't have coffee.
And present for this recording on Tuesday.
You should drink more water.
Also.
Yeah.
But to answer the question. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. How would you feel if you were too dark? You know?
Yep.
That's not Jesus.
But here's the caveat.
What are you going to say to that?
Here's the caveat, is that I don't think it's my responsibility to shine light on, just going back to the relational equity thing. I think that, you know,
I think it's your job to turn on the light.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're not the light.
Yeah. I just think about the guy, and I told the story like 2 weeks ago, but the guy in Boston, like at the street corner, like came up and was like chest punching me.
Well, yeah, but that's not a relationship.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying. It's like he would say, I think what he was saying is that, like, I'm trying to shine light in your life. But my response was, like, you don't even know me enough to know that, like,
I'm a pastor.
I got the light, man. Yeah. Like, you and me, you speak the same language. We just are speaking it in You're different dialects.
Distorting it.
But, like, you don't have a real enough relationship with me to know that, and yet here you are, like, trying to shine your light on my darkness.
In my face, poking
me. And so I'm verbally processing here. It's just, like, I wonder... Like, yes, we should shine our light on any and all darkness, but
you should
maybe not all at the same time.
You should be willing to have a relationship with anyone. You should be willing to step into anyone's mess, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's a point where it's like, okay, I'm not the right person for this, but like, how can I help them find the right person?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And... stepping in the mess with them is its own version of shining the light on it. And it's understanding that, like, maybe my role to play in your life is just to sit in the mess with you.
Yeah.
And it's going to be somebody else's to come and, like, take the light that I've shown and, like, dial that up a little bit more. Nolan said this a long, long time ago in that room right over there. He was talking about that we all want to be like the capstone of the pillar of growth that leads to Christianity. Like, we all want to be the person that makes the conversion, but like, that's only one person. Like, only one person gets to be the facilitator of the Holy Spirit in that moment where they're like, yes, I accept Jesus. Yeah. But just because like that one person, that's only one person, doesn't mean that that isn't built on a lifetime of other people who have 100%. Laid that foundation. And so, like, regardless of where we are in that progress with people, we need to be willing to sit in the mess and understand that we may not be the one to pull them out of the mess, which changes the way that we view people, I think.
Yeah.
Even it's just like, you're messy and I'm going to hang out with you because you're messy and I love you. And that's what I was called to do.
Well, I think that's what Jesus would say.
Yeah.
You know?
It's probably less agenda driven than I think maybe people would want.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more gray than black and white.
The world is gray.
I live in gray, man. there are black and white things. Like, I want to be clear about that.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot of gray, and I live in it.
Yep.
Good talk.
Yeah. Me too.
I said me too.
You too, bro. That's what I meant to say. I need water.
You need something. men's retreat this weekend.
Men's.
You excited about that?
I am. I am excited.
Men's.
Men. Yeah, I'm excited. I typically ride with my dad, and it's just kind of a good time for us to vibe. I think my friend Zach Smith is going to ride with us.
Cool, I was texting him today asking about
if he's going. And I think Buddy, too. I forget Buddy's last
name. Buddy Todd.
Buddy Todd, yeah. Buddy Todd's going to ride with us, so it's gonna be a good time.
Yeah.
And, I'm excited to just kind of unplug, and I'm going to read a book. Like, I always do, but I just want to read a book and sit in the mountains.
Yep, me too. So. I'm bummed that it's not at camp.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it's still in the mountains, and I'm kind of excited, actually, because I've never been to Glorieta.
Me too, I've never been there
heard either. Awesome things about it, so I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, me too.
What time are y'all leaving?
9.
We're leaving at 8.
Yeah.
Beat you.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Driving your dad's truck.
Yeah.
See, we're bringing a van with a trailer.
Yeah.
But I've got like 11 of my... like
your dudes,
YF bros with me. So
you just say Y bros?
YF.
Oh, YF.
I'm trying to be cool and have
acronyms. Wow, you have acronyms
too, that's but so YF cute, doesn't. Dude. Okay, that's Mr. Wya. Wya.
It's like youth pastor still in his blood.
What acronyms did I use as a youth pastor? Thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed this podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
That was good.
Bob's preaching this weekend because literally like everybody except a few of us are going to be gone. So Bob is preaching this week. He's going to be starting the new segment. We are enabled, which means new bumper video, ooh, new graphic, all
that
stuff.
I get to miss out on that.
I know. I'm bummed.
Have you already edited that?
Nope.
He said nope. I would really like to
put that on the list of things to do this week. Anyway,
like if you guys would shut up, I could get to it.
Bob is preaching this week. He's starting off a new segment. The second to last, right? Or is this the last one? Nope, enabled, empowered.
you just gave it away, bro.
Spoiler alert. Anyway, Bob's starting off. We are enabled this week. I'm excited about that. I like it when Bob preaches.
Me too.
We'll have to listen to it on Monday.
Anyway. He's a funny guy.
If you have any comments or questions or concerns, make sure that you leave them in the appropriate spots. You can email us or you can put them in the comment section below if you're watching this on YouTube.
Make sure that you like, subscribe, and leave us a review, because that's how people find us, is if you review. Put us on your story, and we will also put you on our story.
Hmm.
It's like
share it out there.
Get share
it out
for there. Share. So,
instead of you digital, saying share for share?
No, I literally just came up with it.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. It's digital currency.
All about the banking terms today.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at us go. Anyway, hope you guys enjoyed it. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Love you guys.